Oakland Athletics of Sacramento, Vegas.
Yes, the Las Vegas Athletics of Sacramento, formerly known as Oakland. Yeah.
I hate how they make the Sphere in Vegas, the A's thing already. Like, it's not final.
It's not even final.
No, I was, like, 3 months ago, 4 months ago I was there, and they were doing it. I'm like, this is a little premature.
It's just,
are you trying to say the A's jumped the gun on something here?
Yeah. That's right. And what? Chris, there is an Athletic article from Ken Rosenthal, and you kind of broke down the important parts of that one.
Yes, there's a lot in here. I tried to skim and only highlight the things that I felt necessary, but there's just a ton in there. Definitely recommend you read it over the Athletic. But he just really pokes a lot of holes and expresses his skepticism in all the things that have been said, because as we know here locally, Dave Cavill and John Fisher just lie out of their teeth. They they like it second nature. And Rosenthal points out that the A's, according to a source briefed on their plans, the A's projected payroll, this is going to be hilarious, in the $130 to $150 million range during the ramp-up period before they move into their park, then $170 million-plus once they are established in their new stadium. Dave Cavill declined to confirm those numbers, but said, quote, "We're budgeting numbers and we think we are in the higher side of the league." This is especially funny when you consider the A's last season had a major league low $56.9 million payroll and haven't ranked in the top 15 in player salaries since 1994.
Wow.
Those numbers would be transformative and shocking, to say the least. Also, with all of this comes a whole inner workings of local TV deals, and I guess NBC Sports California has some deal with the A's signed through, I think it's 2023 or 33 or something like that. And by the A's moving out of the market,
right,
they would then be breaching that contract. I guess NBC Sports pays the A's upwards of $67 million, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, which is reportedly why Sacramento is a city that they are looking at, not because they would get the full $67 million or whatever they're guaranteed, but there's possibility for maybe working out something with saying, hey, we kind of kept it in the market, but obviously still California, breached the contract a little bit. I think they're still both broadcasted on NBC Sports California. So, you know, there's a possibility here that Sacramento is being used nothing more but just so the A's can still be able to collect checks, which also adds a level of complexity to this when it comes to already Sacramento fans being a little bit wishy-washy on how they feel. And I think rightfully so. I think it's an incredibly complex situation for Sacramento to deal with, but definitely could possibly be getting played in all of this, or at least used as a pawn in all of this.
Survive in advance.
Absolutely. And these are the last two notes that I'll take from the Rosenthal thing. When I asked Cavill if staying in Oakland was possible, a crazy thought if there ever was one, but maybe not so crazy if it yields the largest TV payout, he said, "We're looking at all options. No options have been excluded at this time." And Alan Stiles definitely has something to add to that portion, but here's one last note. The team, since Fisher became majority owner in 2005, again, has never ranked higher than 17th in payroll, which was in 2007. They've never spent more than $92.2 million in player salary. That was in 2019. But thanks to savvy management by Billy Beane and David Frost over 15-year span from 2006 to 2020, the A's have somehow reached the postseason seven times.
Wow. Wow. So they are basically saying, is that still just to get, is would staying in Oakland, it would be until they're done in 2028?
Yep.
So whether
they're saying
Oakland,
that's still a possibility that they have not completely ruled out.
Because the Sacramento thing, that would be until 2028?
That would be, yep, the three-year stay, essentially.
So they're just trying to figure out where the three stay is going to happen.
Essentially, yes. And there is talk that maybe like they can work out one-for-one deals where it's like, hey, maybe 1 year in Sacramento and then moving over to Salt Lake. There's a lot of interest in the Salt Lake thing.
A complete mess.
The Salt Lake thing, I think, is a very, very real layer of this.
Yeah.
Where they have, I believe it's the former Jazz owner is looking for the A's to move into, I believe the Salt Lake City Bees have a AAA park. That they're looking to move into. And I guess Salt Lake is also couple hour drive from Vegas, so it would be a little bit more like a transition into the new market. But there's also a possibility that there's a lot of talk about the A's, just the deal is essentially, you know, it's all but kaputs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are saying, this is not just a, hey, come play at our stadium for 3 years.
Salt Lake, yeah, this is, it's hey, a this lot bigger makes than more that. Sense.
Yes, exactly.
But they would still have to make their, what would they add on to it? Or they would add on to it.
They would essentially say, hey, play in the stadium, and for those 3 years, we can negotiate how to make this thing bigger.
The actual stadium, but so as to not make another stadium.
I don't know if they've gotten that far on those talks. But the talk is essentially just, this is not just a tryout. This could potentially, it's all of the things. It could be a tryout for this team. It could be a tryout for MLB as an expansion. Mm-hmm. Or it can just straight up be a, we're going to hold on to this team and we're not going to let go. Which has been, you know, that's, I feel like that's happened a couple times in history.
Where, yeah.
You know, you think it's somewhere for a couple years and then, they just never end up moving. It's ridiculous. I mean, this whole thing, to Nate's point about the sphere, too, it's just, it's crazy how much victory lapping, I guess, not even really mm-hmm. victory lapping, because even then it felt unlegitimate, but just the everything is fine nature of all of this that the A's have approached this with is insane. It's actually insanity how these guys have continued to just act like, this is all signed, sealed, delivered, and it's all good. And, oh, what are you talking about? Rendering's not being true. And there's a bunch of talk about finances that were supposed to be approved by a certain date that have just come and gone. This is the worst display of ownership I think there's been in, definitely in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear from people who are older than I am. I can't imagine somebody just showing their behind as much as John Fisher has.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you operate like this.
It's crazy.
You know, it's almost bad. It almost even makes them look better, the fact that they went to the postseason those years.
Right. Oh, totally. Because it masked everything, right?
Right. They were never cashing out. And I don't know if the thought process is, hey, once we get to Vegas, I will cash out.
That is what they're saying. They're saying that is, it's appropriate for the market.
So was your plan to alt when you got the team to just always get out of Oakland, because you never put the money yeah. into the team in Oakland.
I think that I don't think John Fisher had a plan yeah. is what I would say. I think that things soured and it's now gotten to the point where it's almost vindictive. Like it feels like this is no longer about what's best. It's almost like, I mean, it's a divorce. It's, mm-hmm. it's not what's best for the kids. It's, no, I'm trying to get back at you for something that happened years ago. And it feels like John Fisher is saying, I don't care about the A's. I don't care about the A's fans. I'm upset that the city of Oakland didn't build me a stadium and didn't cooperate and wanted me to put my money forward to build a stadium when I feel like the city should help. And it feels like, you know, in the pre-pandemic times when they were, by all intents and purposes, negotiating with good faith, it seemed like it was working, but I think something went wrong. Maybe it was the transfer of mayor. I'm not 100% keened in on the situation, but it seems like something drastically changed. And once John Fisher made up his mind that he didn't want to deal with the city anymore, it felt like he was going to make it as ugly as possible. And I don't see what the big win is here, because it seems like everybody, this has just shined a bright light on how terrible John Fisher is as an executive, as a CEO, as a businessman, and frankly, as a person too.
Right. And, you know, that stuff goes a long way as far as the fan base. And, you know, we played that note last week when he was at some event nobody was cheering for him.
Hit this the Ja Rule.
we've said it time and time again. We already understand that Major League Baseball is not football. You can't just plop a team somewhere and people are going to flock to it. You got too many dang games, which don't get me started on that. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the same.
There's also no local interest there.
No.
Not to mention that. I mean, the fact that you're not, who are going to be the Las Vegas A's fans that go to your point, 81 home games?
No one.
Nobody. Nobody.
Anybody that buys season tickets are buying tickets to sell them.
Yeah, and like exactly. Maybe you'll get casinos and business people buying them for
Vegas,
that purpose.
Because the Raiders are different because there's a game once a week.
Yep.
You can find somebody that will go that will fly out once a week. Raider fans are Raider fans, but there's
especially too many games. Only 8 of them.
So nobody is buying those tickets. You'd have to be the okay, here's the market. A's fans that were already A's fans that now live in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's your market.
All 1,000 of them or something.
Yes.
You know, like that's a very and like how much of the Vegas Strip too is like you know, whatever. It's like going, I can't think of another example, but it's the touristy place. Like, how many locals actually are like, yeah, you know what I want to do on my Wednesday is drive onto the Strip and and see some terrible baseball. Just because I like the Braves, I'm going to go and I'm gonna just go hang out and there's nothing better I can do with my day. There's just no way. I mean, it's ill-conceived. It's just... The whole thing has, from Jump Street, it hasn't made any sense. And they've just been trying to convince us that this thing makes a ton of sense.
The Raider thing was so completely different because they were in LA.
It's a brand.
It's a true
Raiders
brand. And not to get off topic, but the idea about a lot of people were saying, hey, the reason most Raiders fans would have to root for the Niners over the Chiefs is because the Chiefs, that's your division. Raider fans, that's a specific group of Raider fans from Oakland.
Yes.
That have to deal with, or you could make the argument California.
Right.
But
sure.
NorCal Raider fans that have to deal with their buddies that are Niner fans. And somebody put into perspective, Raider fans are all over the place. Mm-hmm. So all Raider fans hate the Chiefs. Not all Raider fans have that Bay Area rivalry because the Raiders have been all over the place. The A's, their brand isn't that strong.
No.
And in part, what he should have been doing, if he really were to think ahead, he would have been building this brand instead of tearing it down so that you have a brand to go to Vegas. You don't build a brand in Vegas unless it's brand new, right? The Vegas Knights or something like that. The Raiders already have a brand that they just took to Vegas. You can't refurbish a brand in Vegas, especially when you have the longest schedule, the longest season out of all the seasons with the least amount of urgency.
Right.
It's terrible. Yeah. And honestly, it makes me think, how did these people get rich to begin with? How did this even happen?
Trust fund babies, I believe.
How are you not able to transition your, you know, what you've done, your business savviness.
Yeah, the gap in Old Navy.
I do not understand it. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, when Chris alluded to everything is on the table.
Yes.
Everything is on the table.
Everything.
I have, you know me, I'm always looking for sources. I have a Bay Area source that told me something, and when he said it to me, I couldn't believe what I just heard. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
There are a lot of options when it comes to the Oakland A's, and none of them seem to be too great, but this one, my friends, may take the cake. So, as you know, I was down back in the Bay Area for the Niners game, spoke with someone, just came up in conversation. Bay Area source told me that there is something being floated around. So after that 2025 season for the A's, nobody knows what's going to happen. Are you ready for this, Chris? Are you ready for this, Nate? Are you ready for this to all of our Sacktowners, our Sacktown Sports listeners, however you may be listening? Don't forget you listen on TuneIn if you are not able to get to an AM situation. Can't forget that one. YouTube. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Sacktown Sports.
There's an app. We got Sacktown Sports app.
Sacktown Sports app. A lot of ways to listen because you're going to want to hear this. That person told me that there is an idea being floated around that between 2025 and 2028, the A's would not exist as a franchise.
I'm sorry?
So like basically, so between 2025 and 2028, Major League Baseball would run with 29 teams. And when 2028 comes around, they would basically do an expansion draft. That idea is also being floated around.
So almost disbanding the A's as a franchise altogether.
For 3 years. Those players would be able to sign with other teams. I don't know. The minor league, if you're worth anything in the minor league, somebody comes and finds you. If not, thank you for your service. And then we refresh everything in 2028 in Vegas. If they can't figure something out.
Wow. I mean, that's just not something that I've ever considered even being a possibility to just completely say bye-bye franchise and then just, oh yeah, actually here they're springing up like the Phoenix
right
in Vegas. I mean, that feels like an absolute last resort break in case of emergency. Mm-hmm. There's nobody who will take us. This is our only option. That's the only way I could see that happening, because that feels like, I mean, that just feels like it's
it would save them money, I would imagine. Don't have to deal with
right. You wouldn't
whatever
have to pay anything, I guess. Yeah. But that just feels so extreme. And I'm not, the crazy thing is, the craziest of it all is it's not. It doesn't feel like that's 100% out of the realm of possibility when you're talking about what these guys have been talking about with this move in general. I mean, I'm honestly shocked. Like hearing it, it seems like something that shouldn't. I mean, that's almost an admission of being wrong completely from the start, that you never had a plan in the first place, and to just completely disband an entire organization would be massive. Like, you can't just, that's jobs. That's, you know, whether it be ushers or I know the ushers
are moving anyway.
I guess. Yeah.
It's time.
That feels just so extreme.
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, hey, we kind of fall back for 3 years. People forget how much they hate us. People forget how much we botched this.
Would that be a rebrand when they relaunch?
And then they would come back as the Vegas A's, I would imagine.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, that's crazy. And again, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
No.
I definitely put it in the lower percentile, but I mean, yeah, I could definitely see how that would be their last ditch effort at trying to maybe save this thing from a public perception is, hey, maybe if we just have this thing go away instead of, oh, are the A's going to be here for a year? Are they going to stay in Salt Lake City?
I mean, it's messy, right?
It's already messy, yeah.
Get rid of the mess. We're just not going to play.
Man, that's crazy. And then not to mention the whole operating with 29 teams thing, what that would do to baseball. I mean, they would.
There's an asterisk? I mean, they weren't going to win anything.
Ugh. I mean, at that point, too, if you're Rob Manfred, you've got to get John Fisher out. If John Fisher forces you to do something like that, you can't have that guy stick around. If you said, dude, you literally made me get rid of our one of 30 franchises, you can't stick around. Because of your mismanagement of this?
Right.
Nah. You got to get to step in, brother.
Because it would affect, I mean, I would imagine it would affect TV deals in some fashion because of other teams that them, especially in the AL West. The AL West.
You'd have to figure out new scheduling, everything, all of it.
Who do you play instead of? Because ALS plays them a lot.
And the Players Association's not going to be too thrilled with, I don't even know how many more jobs or how many less jobs that would be for their players as well. That's crazy, man. That's insane. And I think it's just, even if it's, you know, your source is wrong on it or whatever, I think the fact that that's even remotely a possibility, I think, is just incredibly telling of where this situation is at and just how bad this thing has gotten and how out of control. And this is completely Major League Baseball's fault. The fact that we're even allowed to speculate about that being a remote possibility it's just a complete failure all the way around. And baseball should be ashamed, and definitely the A's should be ashamed. But at this point, there's a lot of things they should be ashamed about. So I don't know, man. If that happens, there's got to be hell to pay. There has to be.
So I'm looking here, and I know a couple teams have lost minor league minor league teams, but just the classic, and I know there's high A, low A, but just to keep it as simple as possible, there are essentially 30 players on each level. So 30, 60, and then you have 90. So call it about 150 players. Right. Each organization.
So and is that the whole organization that would go down, or is it just the A's, like the top club? Because, you know, just because the A's aren't around, does that mean
right,
that
would the minors just play?
Right.
And then you play, and you where do you get called up to?
I don't know. Like, if yeah, does it become well, the G League Ignite almost?
Yeah, do you just get signed to another team if you're balling out?
Again, it sounds like a logistical nightmare. And if they do get to that point, I'm telling you, there's no way you can have that guy stick around, because it's just creating so many – that would create so many headaches. And what, at this point, they would have to get it all figured out in a year. Like, it's crazy. That's insane. It does sound like something that would be a movie in the worst way possible.
You have Amid Rock on the Sack Chat saying this is like the movie Major League. It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And that is what is being floated around. It hasn't really come out too much, but that is an idea. Nothing is off the table like you just said, Chris. And this isn't off the table to just run with 29 teams. And when the stadium is done, we do some version of a redraft.
Yeah.
Just give – and I don't even know how that works with baseball because of all the prospects.
Right.
Hey, well, let's – I'm just going to give you this guy or that guy.
He's full of prospects anyway.
Right.
Even their big club.
Exactly. Just... So, yeah, that – when I heard that one, I thought, I guess that's possible.
That's where they're at. And it's just – it's crazy, man. And I don't know how – I just don't know how they make this situation better. And how about A's fans, too, who then would have to, they're already balancing of should I even remotely consider, even if the team moves to Sacramento, then you're just saying, no, not only you thought that this person would just exist or this thing would just exist and you could ignore it. No, we're actually just going to kill it. We're just going to completely, not only can you not, hey, maybe you liked one or two guys on this A's. Oh, you're curious about Tyler Soderstrom and his development throughout. Even though you're not an A's fan or supporter, you grew an affiliation with him and you want to see how it's. No. It's kaput. Completely. You're not going to see any of it. They're dead, and you can see them in 3 years when they come back as a living nightmare for you.
Yeah, I mean,
don't put them through that, man. They've been through enough.
It's not. Yeah, nobody deserves this. No fan base deserves this, especially not Oakland A's fans who've had to deal with losing the Raiders, the Warriors, now the A's. And, you know, clearly John Fisher just does not care. So, yeah, maybe they'll run with 29 and we'll see you in 2028. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we talked about Andrew Wiggins. Shams says that the Warriors would even take calls on Klay Thompson. Ooh. One, are you believing it? Two, fine. You don't want Andrew Wiggins? What about Klay Thompson? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From Shams Charania, they're the Warriors going to take calls on Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul, and they could get interest on a guy even like Klay Thompson. I think those are very much open-minded conversations for the Warriors. They have to be open-minded. Would you want Klay Thompson? Real quick, we are 30 minutes away from our giveaway of two pairs of Eddie Griffin tickets. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at Hard Rock Sacramento April 13th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline in 30 minutes. We will tell you what caller number we are looking for to win those tickets. You want Klay Thompson?
I got to jump in on this. I'm sorry. One pair. And that's my fault. This is the production fault. We're giving away one pair of tickets.
One pair.
But still, call in.
Wow.
And you're going to get that single pair. It's two tickets.
Wow. Wow.
Just for one person.
Okay.
Or, you know,
one
for
pair
one
of
caller.
Tickets. One number.
That's on Nate. 1,000%.
30 minutes away. And he would no longer be playing with number 30 if he were to leave Golden State. Yeah.
That was good.
Klay Thompson. You don't want Andrew Wiggins, Chris? I'm just giving you a bunch of recycled Warriors.
Why not?
Fine.
We don't have enough of those here.
That's
in
right.
Sacramento.
You don't want Andrew Wiggins. What about Klay Thompson?
It depends what we're talking about, but I think Klay even is, I know he's on an expiring, but he's somebody who wants a new contract, right? I mean, isn't there a lot
yes,
of talk about
because
the
they
deal
offered him
for?
Something.
I think it was 2 for $48 or
something
like
that.
Yeah.
And he turned it down over the summer.
Right.
And then got a dose of reality.
I would say so.
This season so far.
It all kind of comes back to that conversation that we had on the Kings Roundtable feels like months ago now with Brendan, who was and Frankie, but Brendan was on the other side of us. We were all team. I feel like money considered, you'd probably rather take Kevin Huerter, and I don't know if I've gotten past that line of thinking where, you know, it's not that Klay Thompson isn't a better player than Kevin Huerter. It's just when you're talking about the dollar figure that you're going to be paying Klay Thompson, it feels like you can get similar or close to similar production from Kevin Huerter for a significantly reduced price. So it really just comes down to how much do you believe is still left in Klay Thompson?
Well, it also comes down to what you think Klay is going to demand offseason as well. So now I'm doing this comparison. This one, again, you got to remember the money, because this one isn't as close, but you got to think Klay is essentially the second option.
Yeah.
We just read you Andrew Wiggins' stats. That dude can't throw a beach ball into the ocean right now. So Klay Thompson is just a high-volume shooter. So Klay Thompson this season averaging 17.6 points, 3.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists on 42.1% shooting. This season, he's averaging 30.9 minutes on 42.1% from the field, 38.5% from three.
It's not really a good fit. I'm trying to look here. Yeah, so.
And he can't guard your best player anymore. Kevin Huerter might be better than Klay Thompson defensively right now.
He could be. He definitely could be. I mean, they don't put Klay, to your point, on primary ball handlers anymore. And I'm looking, if you're just going to say, what's the role that Klay Thompson would play here? Because you the perfect word, volume shooter. Mm-hmm. This year, Klay has taken the fewest field goal attempts since his second year in the NBA. 14.5. You know where 14.5 field goal attempts would put Klay Thompson on this Kings team? Number two, above Domantas Sabonis and above Keegan Murray. Kevin Huerter takes 9 shots a game right now. So you're talking about a guy who would then just be, essentially besides De'Aaron, be at the forefront of your offense. He's probably taking all the threes away from Kevin Huerter. He's probably taking a couple threes away from Keegan. Just doesn't really make sense. No. It just really doesn't make sense as a fit. Klay just makes a lot of sense for a team like the Lakers, where it's just like, you know,
they've been trying to do it for years.
Yeah, just make, you know, the synergy with his dad playing with the Lakers. It makes a lot of sense. To me, yeah, that's the kind of situation I could see Klay walking into. I just don't see him, you know, I don't think he would be upset in this Sacramento situation. I don't think he would play any less hard, but I definitely think it's just not the right fit. Maybe if he was still there defensively, you could talk yourself into it, but if you're just trading for a volume shooter, again, I just don't think that's what the Kings really need.
No, I don't either. And there are a couple guys that are floating around, and
I don't even know what you would give up for Klay at this point. Like, what are the Warriors to I think you asked this about Wiggins, but like, what do the Warriors want? What direction are they trying to move into?
I don't think they know. All I think they know is that they have to do something and that this isn't working. No. But I don't.
$43 million, by the way, this year Klay is being paid.
First of all, I just don't think that they know what Klay is worth.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And if they don't know.
A lot of name value there.
Yeah. And I saw yesterday just another names roaming around, and Jillian Adge, who is obviously King's legend, right? And Jill saw the video, and I don't know if you saw floating around with Lonnie Walker the fourth.
Essentially,
he was just saying, I'm just looking. It was pretty darn sad.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for a home,
essentially.
And Jill said, come on to Sacramento. And he's another guy. I love what we saw from him in the playoffs when the Lakers were going to win the whole thing. And they have the best roster.
Lonnie Walker game will live in infamy forever.
I was surprised that he ended up going to the Nets and doesn't really get that many minutes on a team that's not very good. I'm not a Lonnie Walker connoisseur, but obviously there's some holes in his game. That's a guy that I think the Warriors should be in business with the Nets to not just get him, but get you a wing, get you another wing, get you a Lonnie Walker.
Get Corey Joseph out of there, man, because let me tell you, when I was in the Bay, that was like the number one thing I heard from media and just fan chatter is, why is Corey Joseph in the game?
Yeah.
Which Kings fans had to deal with that for a while, but now it makes even less
sense. No more Kojo. Got to go.
Yeah.
So I would do that. I love Lonnie Walker, but I also, just speaking to the fit of Klay Thompson, I don't think he's a fit on this Kings team. Mm-mm. I think he's too similar to Malik, right?
Yeah.
He's 6'4".
Yeah. You could play like a Terrence Davis role last year, which you could argue this team needs, but I don't think it's the biggest need.
You could take him if you plan on starting Malik.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe during this summer.
Right, yeah. Or if Kevin Huerter gets moved on.
Or if Kevin Huerter gets moved. But right now,
doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm not saying
a lot of sense, but it's just,
I mean,
it's not the primary thing that they should be looking
no,
at.
No, but great, you know, but seems like a great guy.
Yeah.
Just seems like he
young
really,
too. Yeah.
Really just wants a home. But yeah, Klay Thompson, I can't touch that either.
It's a lot of money just to even match. To try and make the deal for Klay Thompson, you would have to get somewhere near the $40 million range, and I think the Kings' only path to that would be Barnes, Huerter, and I don't even know if Davion Mitchell would get you. I think that might get you to like 39, maybe $40 million, and again, Klay's making 43, so
it's an incredibly large amount of money.
It's a lot. And again, maybe this is the Zach LaVine move. I feel like I keep trying to shoehorn Zach LaVine to Golden State.
But yeah.
It just feels like that's like their desperate move, where it's like that's maybe a win now guy, like in terms of he can produce now and he's young enough and on a ridiculous contract to where maybe, I mean, the Warriors already are living in cap hell with, I think they're one of the highest luxury teams in the league. So what's $50 million contract brought in, I guess?
I just don't think they're going to move off Klay.
I think.
Where does Zach LaVine net you out? Is this for next season, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just for the future in general. I mean, it's in the similar way that it's almost like, it's a bit like HB for Wiggins, where it's, you know, you're getting a couple years younger. Definitely don't think, LaVine's not even, LaVine is a lot closer to Klay Thompson, the defender today, than he was Klay Thompson, the defender 5 years ago. But I guess you can maybe sell yourself on, this is a high volume scorer that you're putting next to Klay, or next to Steph, and it'll be exciting, I guess. I don't know. What are you selling? You're selling like nostalgia, essentially, right now. You're just like, hey, Klay and Steph playing their greatest hits. Here's Klay Thompson still taking 15 threes a game.
Yeah.
Isn't this fun?
And Moody's been injured, but I think they go ahead and try to convince Chicago. Sure, like you said, not a great contract, but I think I would convince. I just don't see them moving Klay. But if you're going to Zach LaVine route, which I think they could, and say, Klay, stop shooting, we're going to pay you less here. I think what they do is Wiggins. They don't want to get rid of Kuminga. We know that. Yeah. But Wiggins, Moody, and somebody else and just say, hey, Chicago, this is a lot of different things that you could do something with.
Sure, right.
Doesn't seem like you really know what you want to do anyway.
They don't. They definitely don't.
So just take this and you can finally be done with LaVine. Now, if you're talking Steph, LaVine, you keep Klay in a lesser role and Draymond.
Yeah.
I don't think you're winning the whole thing, but you could.
It's something.
You could.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in a way that's true. I guess LaVine would be a little bit more of, I guess his role would be a little bit more similar to what they ask Wiggins to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. I think the point that we've reached here is definitely the Warriors got to do something.
They have to do something,
and they got to move on from one of their core four guys, which is, I mean, they're not moving on from Steph. Draymond just doesn't have value right now, I think, and Clay and Wiggins are really the only two that are left, and I'm sure if Looney has any value, maybe they'll kick the tires on that, but they got to do something because they can't just sit here and waste Steph Curry's prime. But that feels like something where they're going to have to come together and just agree. That sounds like an off-season thing where it's like, hey, man, this season did not go well. I don't think next year is going to go well either. Maybe we can do ourselves a favor if you trade me Steph Curry.
Steph and LaMelo?
I've been pushing for LaMelo. I've been pushing Steph to Charlotte. That's all I got. It'd be tough for the Warriors to accept that without LaMelo involved, but, you know. Get it done.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation as we get ready for the Kings and Heat tomorrow. Also, some NFL talk. Has Lamar hit his ceiling? And Tom Brady has some words about Brock Purdy. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
From the 530 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline text line, you don't think people vacationing on the Strip will treat an A's game as a show for a night? I definitely do. I definitely do think that. It's just not enough. There's 162 games.
I don't know if anybody will.
The whole thing with the NFL is Raiders playing the Packers. A bunch of cheeseheads are going to parlay.
Yes.
No pun intended. A trip to Vegas to see their team.
Absolutely.
But that's a 17 or 18 week span.
Yeah.
Right. And actually half of that because when the Raiders are on the road.
Right.
Right. I just don't see that happening. I guess if you're just saying there's always people in Vegas, and would a doesn't have to have any affiliation with the A's, maybe because the tickets might be dirt cheap, but
I don't see it. I don't see.
Out of all the shows, hey, babe.
That's the last thing I'm picking.
Hey, babe, I know you wanted to see Usher's residency, but I got us A's tickets instead.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely terrible. And like the only thing I can think is, a bachelor party, but you would plan.
That is what it's going to be.
That's it. Like,
but that's,
I mean,
not enough.
And it's even then, I'd be a little upset.
Groups of 10 dudes out in.
You'd be thinking this with the NHL, right? Like, okay, like, why are you putting the NHL there? But I think all I've heard my whole life is that hockey is more of an experience when you go.
Sure.
And it's like a crazy thing. Baseball, when you go, it's just chilling, really. It's not that crazy.
The nights are different because the nights.
They started
born
in Vegas.
Vegas.
Exactly. That's a great point. Yeah.
That is the one thing that Vegas actually has that is their baby.
Yeah. If I'm there, I think I can convince more people to pay a ticket's probably $50 more to go to a Knights game and be like, no, it's hockey. It's going to be crazy. Let's do it. This will be fun. Over,
that's a
like
great
you said,
point.
Even if it's the A's and like Yankees or something crazy.
No, because they're going to play again 18 more times.
Yeah, but if you're there and it's like a one-time thing, you know what I mean? And you have to pick between one or the other.
You're picking hockey.
Yeah, and you're paying that extra $50.
Vegas is all about doing things you don't get to normally do. You can go to a baseball game anytime you want.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
And I mean, to the texter's point too, there's so many other things to do. There's so many other shows. Like, I mean, if you're just bored and you're like, hey, well, let's plan 3 days here, you can say let's go to a baseball game, but I'm probably going to say, yeah, or we can do the 100 other, we can go see Circus Olay or something. Like, again, It's just there's I don't know. I just can't see, you know, if you love baseball, absolutely.
You
got to
really love baseball.
You got to really love
it. Or a bachelor party.
Let's just go get yard-long frozen drinks. Let's do that instead.
That's what I'm
saying. Same
like,
price. Because
you're going to be sitting there in the stands anyway. You can go to a sports book and watch the game on TV.
You have limited time in Vegas. You really want to spend
limited. Trapped.
Four or five
you're trapped
hours
there.
In the sun?
The sun
A's
is gonna...
Royals?
No, come on.
Bro.
No.
July.
Well, I told you, this is what's so funny. So I told you that in March, I'll be going back to Scottsdale for, it was for spring training, right? Yeah. I still got to get it approved by HR. We're still waiting here. It's just one day. It's just a Friday. And my buddies, it's kind of, because, you know, in Arizona, it's a lot of golf.
Yeah.
So my buddies, we have the group chat. There's eight of us in it. And then next thing you know, it's, well, if we're all getting in on Friday or Thursday night, do we want to golf on Friday? And then it's like, yeah, we definitely want to golf Friday. Then the question is, okay, we got A's fans and Giants fans in the chat, right? And people who don't care. Okay, well, Saturday, we can try to sneak in golf and then go to a spring training game, or we can bang the second golf and go spring training. You know what everybody picked? Night or Giants and A's fans included?
I said, forget it. Forget the game.
Let's just golf again. Yeah. If that's the choice, I'd rather just golf again.
Right.
Because it's all about doing things. These trips are about doing things you don't get to normally do.
Yes.
Right? A whole golf weekend sounds more fun than checking out a bunch of, you know, and I know it's their AAA, and a lot of times they have the big boys down there. I don't care.
No, and the problem is, too, baseball, to Nate's point about hockey being a great experience, baseball is the least fun going, like, in terms of in-game entertainment.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. It's, you know, NBA, you got just halftime performers, you got in-between timeouts, at least to keep your interest. But if you're going to a baseball game, you're quite literally just sitting in the stands enjoying the game and talking amongst yourselves. And that just doesn't fit the Vegas vibe at all. That's not what you're there to do at all. It'd be nice if it's, hey, we're going to Salt Lake City. There's not a ton of things to do. Oh, there's a baseball game. Well, that sounds like a nice way, but that's not Vegas. That's not Vegas. I'm not going to be trapped anywhere for 4 hours in Vegas.
We just finished watching a show on Netflix called Five Star Chef. Did you watch that
one?
I
did not,
So it's in Europe, and it's at a famous hotel, and it's 10 chefs from all around the globe, right, competing to win to be the head chef of this really high, the elite of the elites go there in Europe, right? There's a restaurant hotel. And what they would say on some of the plates that came out would say, this is great food. This is not five star. It has to be an experience.
Right.
And right now, baseball, and you've been to Allegiant.
Baseball's food.
You've been to Allegiant.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
I don't think that right now baseball has enough Vegas in it.
Yes.
I don't think you can flip it into a Vegas situation right now.
And not even to mention, we haven't even talked about the quality of the product.
No.
Like, you're not even
That's why they want the redraft.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's why they want the redraft in 2028.
Yeah, because they need talent. Like, what is the, we're going to the A's game. At the very least, we'll see player X. Like, there's nobody there. There's no draw except for the other team. And that's a big problem with the A's in general. You can't just, especially with the plans that they laid out there, at least at the start of this thing, to try and justify building the stadium, it was, we're going to sell out. I think the plan, like the financial plan that they had laid out, implied that there would be sellouts to all the home games and all of the events that they have at that venue as well. And it's just, there's 0% chance that A's Royals is, you could probably run through the stands at an A's Royals game in Vegas.
I believe, I don't want to get into Vegas jail though, but I believe, did Lady Gaga have a residency out there too? A lot of people have residencies out there. Hey babe, we can go see the Lady Gaga, Chippendale, not that you would go with your baby to see Chippendales, but hey babe, you know, you can go with your friends wherever, you get the Usher residency, you go to Topgolf.
That's what I'm saying, Topgolf, Cirque du Soleil.
Or we can go check out Estuary Ruiz, Ryan Noda, Brent Rooker, J.J. Bleda, Lawrence Butler,
okay.
Jordan Diaz, who? And Nick Allen for the A's.
One of those was a fake name.
No, they were all real names.
I refuse to
They
believe.
Were all real names. Before we get to a break here, Chris, going back to the Kings the 916. Watkins, your argument against Clay on the Kings because of shot usage could be the same thing with Sasha. His numbers in Europe required a lot of shots.
I'm going to need a translator for that. I don't understand what they're trying to say.
But his numbers are not what they are. They're completely different to what they are in Europe. So I don't understand.
I don't understand. Are you trying to say, is your point to say you can't take somebody's numbers in one situation and then directly apply it to another? I hear you. I do hear you. But
Sasha's having no impact really this season.
Yeah, and also, you're losing the forest for the trees. I feel the bigger point is I feel like Clay, in order at this point, you said he was a volume shooter. Mm-hmm. In order for him to be effective, it seems like at this point
continue
in his career
to be.
If he's getting 9 shots, it doesn't seem like he's going to be hitting
exactly
5 or 6 of them.
Yes, he is the guy. He's very similar to Kevin Huerter, and he's got to get lathered up a bit.
Yeah.
He needs to get warmed up, and then a lot of times he'll go off in that second half. You just don't have time on this Kings team. Don't have time on this Kings team. Thank you to the 916 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline and text line. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we do our giveaway for one pair of Eddie Griffin tickets. Also, we have the Truck Smart Drive, and this might be the most electric Truck Smart Drive of the week that we've had all season long. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.